Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money. And hold that money. And practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
By the time you met Blondon, how big were you getting? Like,
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots. And next thing you know, my accountant died. And a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact. Because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see
100,000, 600,000 deducted.
It. Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." Oh, man. He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. Mm. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
Oh, I was talking. You guys couldn't even hear me. Okay. I clicked on something wrong, and I had to on a laptop, and I had to. Anyway. Okay, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my Blog Talk page studio to repopulate so I can go to that. Okay, today's podcast, and I'm about to open up the phone line here. $2,500 e-commerce homes. All right, $2,500 e-commerce homes. But what one of the topics within this is what I want to come up with today is a one-hour e-commerce plan, and that is based on a video put out by Incredible Tiny Homes with Randy Jones. Let's see. Okay, 309, you there, Chris?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. What I wanted to do was, as I, the more and more I thought about it, is come up, I mean, well, basically, you know, I had to come up with it. It's already out there. The Randy Jones, as you know, but so I'm doing this spiel for the audience. He sold 25, well, no, excuse me. He sold 100 tiny houses in 1 hour. And that's with deposits, people putting down a $500 deposit. So for the people that are not familiar with Randy Jones, now the tiny houses had a retail value of, I'm just putting it at $25,000 because some of the homes he makes are cost more than that, but I'm just putting it at, he's got one that he does at $15,000, but I'm just putting it at $25,000. So, but it could be, it doesn't matter what the price is, but he sold 100 widgets. These widgets happen to be tiny homes, and he did it within 1 hour. So I figure, all right, let's take a look at, let's just break down what I would call this simplified e-commerce plan and apply it to what we do, or wherever you're listening, apply it to what you do, because it.
Oh, man, I found this fan. I was like, I'm good.
Okay, push it in. Okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Chris, what I was saying is listening to the Randy Jones is an Incredible Tiny Homes. He sold 100 what I would call big ticket items, averaging, let's say, $25,000 per tiny house. He sold 100 of them via e-commerce within an hour.
That's correct.
So I figure, you know what? That's really maximizing an hour. So I figured, let's just, if we can just go from, because I've seen a video a few times, you've seen it a few times, then just go out with some common denominators that he had in that video and apply it to what we're doing. Because now you don't have to apply it to, he did it for a big ticket item. Okay, so just multiply 25,000 times 100. That's like 2,500,000. And that's all with deposits within 1 hour. But it doesn't have to be a big ticket item. It can be anything. And that's particularly for people that might have a side hustle. So, Chris, what would you see if you wanted to sell 100 items via e-commerce like he did, what were, and I'll be taking notes while you're speaking, and I recommend people listening to this podcast, you take notes as well. What would be the basic elements he used?
Well, let's go off. You know, he was giving a product that someone could utilize every day or just vacation-wise or maybe a mother-in-law's situation. And he used that element. So let's use the element of what does your family need? And what would it take for you to make a difference to where that family member can be, you know, taken care of and not realize they're alone maybe, or, you know, not out here trying to figure it out. But let's say instead of us doing a full ticket item of a finished product, let's just look at a flat pack for a tiny house. And say we're going to do 150 square feet. Now, we'll give you that flat pack. You can have other options.
Chris, before we get into the details, let's go with, all right, the first thing you said, let's just go with some of the fundamentals before we get into the details of the fundamentals. All right, like you said, he had an item out there that people can use on a daily basis. Anything else that you can add on to that? Because like I said, he moved 100 of them and went out.
Well,
social media.
I didn't see the video of him doing the sale. I just heard about it. So I'm not sure exactly what sales tactic he used throughout the hour.
Well, I know.
Because if
so,
I just know there's a lot of different topics there in an hour. Are you right?
Right. Well, as you know, Eric, he actually, at least 3 or 4 times a week, he actually goes through his warehouse, and you can see people building tiny houses. They build 3 to 5 a day. So he'll do a live stream of people actually building tiny houses. So I think that's a very important element. People can actually
Definitely.
See the process of building. Live streaming. I'll call it live streaming the process.
And the beautiful thing about him doing that, it actually gives you a visual, not just you hearing somebody trying to sell. So when you see people go live and sell, you know, it could be a drone, you know, and they're saying, look, you know, I'm liquidating these things and they're this price and they're, you know, super cheap. And but at the same time, they have a drone flying right behind them, hovering above them. They're showing you what it's videoing as they're doing the live video. And they start selling them because they realize that you could program it to follow you. And as he's walking around, it's actually showing it. So here's just another tactic is show them. And that's what Randy Jones did. He does every week is he shows people that didn't have that stable situation, a proud place to come and you know, get paid a living wage. Not just showing up and trying to get something out of your employee without giving back. I don't see that with Randy. I see everything that Randy grows and does.
Right.
And he does it for the entire company to grow. So.
Right. Sorry. He produces an item that people can use for daily use. He uses live streaming. To show the process of people actually building, because you can actually watch those live streams, and you can probably place an order while he's building somebody else's thing. He's also, I've seen several times when he's shown people who, because he's in Eastern Tennessee. All right, so I've seen people come from Texas. They saw him on YouTube. They live in Texas or Oregon or wherever, and they've ordered it from far-flung places, and then they come to pick up the finished product and then drive it back to Oregon or wherever they came from, Texas, wherever they came from. So he showed that as well. And it's really not when he did the 1 hour live stream and they took now he's done well the first time they did it they had like 300 orders but about half of those people didn't follow through or go through with the order. Meaning that, you know, they called in excited and they, so the what I'm talking about with the order 100 items that stuck was the people called, they placed the order without putting up any money. He had a salesperson call back, and knowing Randy, he probably could have been on some of those calls because he used to answer his phone 5 or 6 years ago when I became aware of him. And they answered any questions, and then they put a deposit, which can be done by phone or Zelle or whatever you have these days, and then they sent out a contract. And that's what counted as those 100 orders within 1 hour. So I would also say you need a live phone bank. I'll put it that way. Live phone bank to take orders.
Yeah, you'd have to have a live phone bank. And what would be funny is kind of do it like they do a telethon maybe. And realize that, say, hey, let's pick cause and say that a certain amount of this money that out of your sale will go to fixing this problem. And it can be directly that way. And then we film it and you get to see your money going to work.
You know what? Now, you just nailed it on the head and drove it through. During his live streams, I mean, you just beautifully put it, you get to see your money go to work. And I think that's probably his best selling point.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because
if you order something from IKEA, you're not going to see it made. It's just going to show up with no personal effect. But if you could actually be involved, and then while you're watching the live stream, they bring, you know, the caller on and actually talk about what they're buying. And you hear how to talk when you want to buy. Because maybe a lot of people don't know the questions to ask. You know, I think there's many ways
that's true.
Examine this.
That's true. And I'm taking notes as you speak. Now he, to my knowledge, and I've been following him for a few years now. He just uses YouTube for the most part. I don't know if he uses Instagram or anything like that, but I know he uses YouTube. So that's been his primary play. I mean, when he took those 100 orders. It was YouTube. Now, there are other platforms up there, but that's the one that he used. Let me see. Buyers. That's question. I think basically you hit on the main I mean, I've even seen there was one video where live stream rather, he archives everything. A lady and her friend, they drove from Florida to Tennessee with cash. And he didn't know this. You know, they showed up and they said they wanted to, him to build something, and they bought the cash money in full for him to build something. And he didn't even take it right away. That was in real time. So he unexpected things, unplanned things, because what I like about it, other than, you know, he has a crew of seven typically to work on a house, for the most part, his programs are all organic. It's you know, really not staged. Chris, anything you want to add on to that?
Well, I don't know what else I could add other than let's not just keep it at one thing. Let's get a hold of the lady that makes products live, and you buy your product, you watch your product made. Let's involve her. Let's sell her product. And let's take all of these different people. We got a lot of, we've done the show a lot with a lot of different examples, but let's go from the Airbnb to a hat being made. I think if we're going to do this, let's don't limit ourselves to what we can do in an hour, but maybe what could we do in a day? And how many people and businesses were affected by it? How many people went to work?
Well, that's a good idea. Matter of fact, they do that, and they might do it here in the United States, but in China they have a holiday called Singles Day on November 11th of every year, and Singles Day. It's like their Black Friday. It's a Chinese Black Friday, except they make a lot. They taking a lot more money than Black Friday here in the United States. And two of the people, they're called influencers. One is a guy named Austin Li, L-I. Another one is her e-commerce name is Via. Just those two alone. They go on for 24 hours, like Jerry Lewis telethon style, and they sell like $400 million worth of product. I mean, it's everything you can think of. Farmers come on there. They sell out their crops, or their harvest, rather. People that have cars, dresses, lipstick, anything you can think of under the sun. In that 24 hours, and that's how they were able to, just two people. Now, they have a team now. Both of them have a team. Because Randy Jones has a team. If you know anything about setting up for e-commerce, you're going to have to organize a team. But they use, basically, they sell that much product using smartphones. I'm pretty sure now, that the majority of people, a good percentage of people that Randy Jones sells to, they're on their smartphone. Practically, I would say 90% of the time that I watch him, it's I have a laptop, I have a tablet, but I use my smartphone more than anything else. Smartphones are the new transistor radio, the way I look at it.
I just had an idea about what you just said. What we wanted to do, what we should do, what we need to do, is we need to have an app that people can click on and see what we're live shooting. Or what they can purchase, or what they can do. With the app, they can walk in many different directions. But if they have the app, we could utilize every dropship situation that's out there and put every product that's on Amazon on our site. And people can order. But not only can they order the product and have what they want, because they're going to do it anyway, it's a vanity thing, is let there be some social impact behind it and that give back. See, that's one thing that Randy, you know, he don't say that. He's like, he don't put it out that you're going to do that. You're just going to pay for his services. And that's good, because that's what people want. I've tried giving my life away, and people don't want that. They don't respect it. But if they pay for it, they have a little more respect for it. For one, they've got something involved in it. If you give it to them, I've seen it over the generations from the beginning of Section 8. People get complacent with a give me. If you're going to give them everything they need for the month, and then they can go get cash in other ways, they're going to take what you're going to give them. That we've seen it in society. They did it with Section 8. The difference is when they did that legislation, they had a good mind to do good with it. It went to having a choice. Do we want to see what the cattle will do? And I'm going to call people the cattle, because they're a category to the way the system works. Because Section 3 came before Section 8, and Section 3 is everything that 8 is not. So everything that it holds you back on 8 and tells you can't do, you can actually do with 3. And they say that there's a waiting list for Section 8, but there's no waiting list for Section 3. And it's been in effect since 1965. So we have a change in societies that we need to do. And it starts with our children. Our adults will learn from those children. The children will become the teachers. But the children want something to do. If it's exciting, if it feeds them, if there's gratification from it, excitement, they'll come back and they'll do it again. I know, because I do things with kids all the time. And that's the funniest part, is when I do it, I take pictures. But when I had a 13-year-old and I'm putting screws in this, and he was laying out the jigsaw puzzle, and he comes up to me and he's standing there and he says, "Give me that gun. You don't need to do that. Let me do it." And he took the gun and built the truss with his brother. He didn't want me to do it. He wanted to do it. So people will step up if you give them a chance. Just, are we going to give them a chance? And I think if we do something very unique right here with a sales tactic, that say that whatever product you buy is going to fund your kid or someone in your community doing something. It don't have to be your flesh and blood for you to matter what happens to it. So, and we can do it with the veterans.
Yeah, I agree.
We can do it all the way around.
I agree. All right. So, and we're going to, because I've been taking notes, I'm essentially going to organize, I'm cherry picking this into an ebook. Because another thing I like about what Randy did is, and others have done it, he's not the only one, he's mastered what I call the power of 1 hour. I mean, just once again, 100 orders, and we're talking about each item costs $25,000. Some people are happy with making $25 an hour.
Go right, ahead, and that's Chris. The part where I was about to say, because they're, you know, I'm going to go off these numbers here. We've got different demographic of societies across the planet, because we know that 25% of the planet lives on less than $1 a day. So they're not going to buy a $25,000 product. But there's 46% of the planet lives on less than $5 a day. They're not going to buy it either. Now, 75% of the planet lives on less than $10 a day. They're not going to buy it either. Now, 85% of the planet, not the country, the planet, lives on less than $30 a day. So what we need to do is we need to work toward the 85 and what they're actually purchasing, what they're going through, what they're doing, and make it to where the people that make a dollar make two or more. And if that's helping us sell this, then that's who we work with. So we start at the bottom because we're only as strong as our weakest link. And right now I'm looking at 85% of the planet is the weak link. But I also look at the 15% of the planet is the reason that the chain is about to break. So I'm just thinking here. I'm just giving thoughts that I'm running through my head. But those are the numbers we need to change. And just by changing those numbers, it's going to start multiplicity, but people are going to be appreciating things, and we're going to have change, and people will have extra change to do things with that they've never been able to do before. But we need to reach them. Now,
right.
I'm just talking
right.
on, you know, on thoughts here, but that's one of my thoughts here is if we work with the 85, you see, in September of 2022, the COC in Peoria, Illinois, that's the Continuum of Care, won a national award for helping more people than they had ever helped in history. Now, I presented it to them in 2017. It took them 4 years to get it and then implement it and have it right there. But come 2022, they got one of two awards given nationally by HUD for helping more people in the community than have ever been helped in history. Because I went for the 85, they was not helping. And I told them that if we carried the 85, they'll carry the 15.
Okay. Hold it. Did I go out?
No, you're here.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. I think, press one if you want to get in on a conversation. 619-768-2945. Press one. And then I believe, let's see, somebody that was in on the call with us yesterday. Yeah, thank you, press one. I wanted to get his feedback as well on the video which we're talking about. Today's podcast is titled $2,500 e-commerce homes. Now, I'll go into what that is because that's a coin. I mean, a term I just coined a few hours ago. 704, your mic is open.
Yes, you mentioned about the $2,500 homes.
Before we get to that, you saw the Randy Jones video, correct? Where you sold 100?
Yes.
Okay. We're just trying to get. All right. We already got Randy. We got Chris Collins on the phone with us. His takeaways from it. But what kind of takeaways did you get from it? If you can name like two or three of them.
Yes, obviously the gentleman has a following. On that particular video, he had 60,000 views, and he had this house that he was selling for $25,000 or under or something like that, and he had some objective of selling so many of them, but he exceeded his expectation. He sold over 100 of these homes. It seems though while he was on the YouTube video, so over a little over 100 of those homes for $25,000 or whatever the price was, but I think it was $25,000. But he was really surprised about the results that he received in that YouTube video while it was live, and it was very interesting to me to be able to see these folk who have these followings or have these low price products that people can reach, and he's able to get on this thing for free and make this kind of money, about $2.5 million, whatever time frame it was.
That's $2,500,000 in an hour. Now, it All right, you're in North Carolina. In your opinion, what were some of the fundamental things? I mean, was it the price that he got that many? I mean, people that actually, because they put down deposits. We're not just people that are calling and I want this and that's the end of it. These people actually put down $500 deposits. So what were some of the motivating factors based on what he said in that video that you think that a person could model and, you know, do the same thing themselves with whatever they're selling?
Yeah, so the idea of having just a small deposit for a home is one thing, takeaway. And also, I don't think it takes a lot of time. I don't remember exactly how long it takes to make this house habitable, you know, in terms of building it. I know Chris, I looked at his video, and I think, you know, he indicated that you can build this home in a day or less, maybe hours. But that's a major factor in life today. You don't have to wait on a stick-built home to be built over several months. You don't have to go through all these processes of cleanup, especially in Chris's instance, where Chris doesn't have a cleanup. He has these steel frame things, and they use all the material, which makes sense. You know, you are ecologically up to speed, you know, where you don't have waste. But there are many things in that example of the other gentleman that you can take away, the small down payment and the quickness of getting the home, moving in.
Yeah, I agree, because we live in an instant society these days.
Now he
did this within, I mean, a 1 hour period of time. So I want to hear from you guys, and plus any feedback from the audience. If you were planning this, what kind of team would you think you would need to assemble to get this in place? In other words, get the results that he got, whether it be a $25,000 house or 100 cupcakes or whatever. He had to have a team, because he didn't do that by himself. He had to have a team. So I'll start with Chris. What kind of team or different teams would you think that would be needed?
Well, if you were doing the assembly, that's one. Now, if you were doing the sales, that'd be another. We know that for Randy, he was employing 70 people to build 3 to 5 homes a day, complete, ready to move into.
Right.
So that's telling you anywhere from 8 to 12 people it takes to build one of those houses. Now, those houses that we're talking about are bigger than the $2,500 flat pack. So they're going to double that size. Okay. So everybody needs to realize that. So anytime that you're looking at what it is and how long it'll take you to do it, it comes down to, all right, if we're talking sales, if we need a sales force, we know we need at least 5 people if we're hitting an audience. Maybe we only need 1 person. Maybe it just needs to be an AI bot, not even us. Just let people just order. And when they're done, it's just like them ordering on Home Depot. They didn't deal with a person. They just clicked. And that's what I want. I just rather somebody click and say, yeah, man, you know, and if they're watching the live stream and they want to comment and they want to talk, you know, we're seeing the comments and they're talking live. So now we have a conversation. You know, now there's something that where we know that we're getting people involved. I would rather not only our audience
because
buy the product.
Now, Chris, I remember him saying in that video, he did have a sales team of live people that did call people, talk to people, answer questions, and then they made their deposit. So he did. In his case,
right.
You're right. You can't have AI, which is the thing these days. But in his case, with that particular 100, he had a sales team that did call, a sales and marketing team that did call people back.
Now here's a footprint.
And
one thing that we have, is we have festivals that are being done every day across our nation, and they go year round. They're all the time going. Well, we have things to interact with that now, so we're going to have, you know, some parts in it. Some of it's even theatrical. So we're giving people an opportunity to come and be part of something when we come into your community. But at the same time, we're there to show you what it is we've already created. Now, one of the things would be a pirate ship. It's a mobile pirate ship, but the people actually tether themselves to it, and they wound up getting permits stating that I can pull it down the street and they can do the theatrical scene on it. Now, if we were live streaming in any of these festivals that we were at and we're building something and we tell people, hey, you know, nothing else, we're going to raffle this one. Buy a ticket. You know, and we live give it away right there. We get the person on the phone. They don't have to be there, but we definitely have the technology in your hand to put them on video, accepting it, letting everybody see it. We can televise it, put it on YouTube. It is the largest television network in the world. And, you know, work. That's why I said work with others and the followers and stuff that they already have, but let's now offer their followers other things and support many things, because that's how you become resilient, is you don't rely on one. It's more of a collective.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I call it, well, that's what flea markets do. Flea markets, there's how are you do one of those every weekend, don't you?
Yes, I sell body oil, fragrances, and incense. Incidentally, you know, I have access to all sorts of people who come through, and so I'm there, present there, and I always contrive some idea of some product, service, or solution that could be sold there. So as an example, I have a friend in Philadelphia who wants to come by and sell insurance there. So it's an open market. In that case, it doesn't take but one or two or three people to run something like that, to take some samples or tests, you know, to test the market on certain things. I have a patent pending on a product, and I was directed to go to the market, you know, with the prototype and see how people respond to it, that kind of thing. So the market is a place to go to test the market, but there you don't need a large of a team, that large of a team, unless you have some product, service, or solution there that requires where the market is, so that you need one clerk, two clerk, three clerks, or something to help manage the business. I just have a gentleman. We run this, and we are able to manage it.
About how many people, vendors, are at the flea market that you're at on weekends?
I would say at least 250 vendors, maybe more, because we have them inside the building and outside.
All right, because what I'm thinking, because what Chris said earlier, if we do, I guess, a combination boots on the ground, plus in combination with a virtual, because you can go on Facebook, Facebook Live, and there are people selling things on Facebook. What I would call sort of flea market style.
Yes.
You know, you just brought flea market up again. And I'm sitting here. I'm just going to throw something at you and you keep on talking. I'm sorry for interrupting you. But let's call this thing Speed Flea. We're going to have everything
Speedfleet?
In the flea market. Right. Sea flea. That way you can watch it. Sea.
Okay.
Like C-E-E. Flea. And that way people can see the flea market. They can order from the flea market and they can get it delivered to their house without ever going to the flea market.
Okay,
that's
like
that's an excellent idea.
Yes. Oh.
That sounds like that's a wide open market.
Yes.
Now, I don't know much about the technical aspect of it. I don't know much about the technical aspect of it, but if anybody out in the audience might know, or maybe one of you two know, a lot of people do things with smartphones, but what other type of equipment might be needed for a successful live stream?
What about geofencing?
Now, what's that?
Geofencing is, say, right there where you live. I'm here. But say I geofence your zip code. Every person in mm-hmm. your zip code, their cell phone will get a text message.
Okay.
So you can get real targeted. You can get real targeted right here. You can get it down to a city block. Anybody that gets within a city block, their cell phone goes off.
Yeah, I recall that I was in Dunkin' Donut one day sitting, and a gentleman came in. He put this device about the size of a quarter into a flower pot that was sitting inside Dunkin' Donut. And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Everybody come in the parking lot, they get a message." Your technology is wow. Yeah, yeah. He put this thing in there and said, "Everyone who come in this parking lot going to get a text message." So that's huge itself, a marketing device, a mechanism.
Okay, well, that you said geofencing?
Yeah, that's what Chris said. It is geofencing or something like that. Geographical fencing or whatever.
And I've got people that know all about it. So we got to go learn about it. I ain't telling you to learn about it. I'm just saying it's an option.
I haven't seen it since I saw that. That was years ago, you know, but I'm glad to have the contact, Chris, because I was saying that's a great thing. You know, you plant these things and they do what they do free. Free marketing.
All right. Now, we would need an e-commerce team because you're going to need a convenient way for people to place orders. Just like the example you gave, let's say you're at a flea market. I mean, you got the people on boots on the ground at the flea market, but you also have people that will virtually be watching, and they order something from the flea market, let's say you order something from the flea market, you want it delivered, you would need either way. You're going to need, as part of your e-commerce team, I guess for lack of a better term, a payments team, somebody who can handle the finance, who can process the orders.
Right. Have you got a 959 on the call board?
Yeah, we do, and I'm going to open his mic right now, or their mic. 959, your mic is open. Now, find out your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes, your mic is open.
Oh, cool. How's it going?
Good.
So I was listening in for just a few moments, and I couldn't help to notice a lot about your marketing needs and for your streaming as well, and how we can boost sales of whatever products you're trying to push. This is something that I've been dealing with for many years, personally with marketing. I used to be a telemarketer, and I am part of International Press Agency membership as a videographer and scout talent.
I am the owner of Horse Creek Haven Incorporation for media, multimedia, and affiliations programs so we can eradicate poverty.
Now, so you know who, I'll introduce you a little bit here, Ronald. He's the gentleman that came from Connecticut to film the That Day in Chicago. And now we have a song for it. We have a song for that. It's called That Day. The song is called That Day. I'm going to send it to you on WhatsApp, LeBron. And if you want, maybe we'll take a break and you play the song.
Yeah, it's five of us together, me, Chris, and his three builders. They did most of the building, and I helped with a lot of the videography. My musicians and video work are all licensed. My own label company as well. We do we're doing free productions for any musicians for their label through our corporation to give. The opportunity to bring themselves out there. And when it comes to marketing your products, I've got some influencers that have over 1 million followers on a regular, and they can be the ones to sponsor the products by you, whatever product it is that you're trying to push. You give them a sample of whatever it is, you give them the pitch, and they get endorsed as a paid sponsor as a for a percentage of the proceeds that get ran through through those feeds. That's one of the ways. And then the devices that you're going to need to do live streaming for multiple platforms all at once. You know, we're talking yellow boxes and streaming boxes and professional gaming computer systems to make it work. Which I have half of it already. I've got the computer systems and such. The streaming box is the one thing that I don't have. It's $1,000. There's a lot of things that we can do together to make things work out.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, for the video and the song, the quickest way to do it while we're on the air here, people can view it at their leisure. As Chris posted on our Facebook page, which is,
Facebook page. I've got a Facebook page with the video, original, everything.
Give us your Facebook page.
It's called Horse, with like the animal, Creek, like the body of water, Haven, like a safe place. My logo is a phoenix. And we made a partnership with Hope Housing Our People Everywhere with Christopher Collins here. And I implemented his logo into ours and redesigned a 8K resolution logo for our venture.
All right, so people can go your Facebook page again where they can go view it and hear the song.
Horse Creek Haven. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay, so Vibon, you can check that out.
Can you hear me, Vibon?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the more follows,
clear.
The more follows people do, the more comments and subscriptions. It's all free subscribing. We want to provide free media and free entertainment to obtain services by obtaining raffles to raise funding for our nonprofit. Because we have the 501c3, so let's use it, you know?
All right. Chris, you had a comment or something?
No, I was saying.
Go ahead.
I was just asking if the gentleman was savvy enough to give us about a 15-second excerpt of the song.
You want me to?
I just sent it to Vibon. You have a copy of the YouTube clip
So you can just do whatever. It's in your text message where you sent me yesterday.
Well,
yeah, I would have
if you're interested in wanting to know what the song is about, I mean, the song is literally about world impact and poverty, pretty much. That's the core.
Right.
That's the core of the song. I showed the video before I even had music behind it to a friend who's a musician up in New Hampshire.
Oh, Ronald. You're talking about the wrong. He's not talking about that song that's on the video.
Oh, we're talking about a different one now?
We're talking about that song, the song That Day. And
right.
that was that part. So no, it's about two different things. So we're just on a different level there.
Okay. I thought we were talking about the Chicago building video.
No. We're talking about another song that I shared it over. Now Vermont has
hold on, I'm waiting for my board to repopulate. Time for me to get a new laptop. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a musical interlude here and then go and take the song that you guys are talking about and then do what I need to do to get it back, get it on this platform so everybody can hear it at the same time. So we'll be right back after this. Okay, I found the song. I mean, thanks to Chris. I found it on YouTube, and I just tried to upload it to our Blog Talk system, and it's not letting me. I'm trying it again. Oh, wait a minute. And okay, I found it, but I'm trying to upload it. Okay, I'm gonna have to refresh my page. Anyway, but I'm opening up everybody's mic again. Anyway, Chris, yeah, that's a good idea of doing more than one, doing a live stream featuring more than one particular business or what have you.
Yeah, I just think it just opens the door so much more, and it gets you a lot more audiences, and you might wind up striking an interest in somebody that didn't have any interest.
That's true. Well, you know, what do they call it these days? Collaborative marketing. Because I know there's a lot of your YouTubers that have a large following. Because I watch a lot of the comedy sketch things. And basically, they're the same people that, you know, you help me with my video, I'll help you with your video. But it might be a circle of 10 or 12 of them, sometimes it's 5 or 6. But, you know, they, that's how they cover it. Now, let me see. Let me try to upload this again.
I've got my, this guy Marcin, he's got 1.65 million followers, the subscribers on YouTube. He's America's
okay.
Got Talent. He's got America's Got Talent Golden Buzzer winner.
Oh, that's an impressive number. All right, let me try to upload this again.
And then the woman that I'm traveling with, her friend is a professional rock climber, and he does cliff jumpings and brings to cliff jump adventures. He's got over 1 million followers himself on TikTok. So that's another platform that has over 1 million as well that we have.
Yeah, TikTok. I hope the politics of that clears up. Because I think they've given them a deadline ahead or something. All right, so I'm waiting for this. Okay, I think I've got it. Now, that day, I'll wait. Anybody got anything to promote while we're waiting on my board to repopulate or whatever it does?
We got a music festival in Maine about to head off in September 20 to the 23rd.
What part of Maine?
It's called Harmony, Maine. It's at the Freedom Field. It's got two fields, and currently we've got six stages that we're working with. We're actually currently seeking a new sponsor because one of the sponsors ended up falling ill, so they don't want to commit right now. But it's so that way we can get the burlesque team on my pirate ship's float stage that I have being enforced to be able to have bands, DJs, fire spinners, and entertainment on. We're going to take that after the festival. I want to go on tour with this and raise awareness and money for our sponsors, raising a flag for all our sponsors. Whoever puts in a certain amount will get a certain size flag for the ship, and we fly the ship every festival, and we video everything, so that way there's show of proof of everything. I've got.
Okay, I think I got the that day video, not video, audio. Let's play it and let's see how it comes out. Permission to play that every day.
Yes, sir. You have that permission to play that every day. And I'd like to get that
playing it every day. Like that. So I want to play it twice a day. Because, Chris, we got an additional podcast night at night, which is called $2,500 Homes. I'm going to play it in the morning to start off, and I'm going to play it in the evening to start that podcast off, too. Absolutely. Man, I can see how I can visualize that on a video that you shot with the guys up in Chicago. I can see a whole village built
now
playing that music in the background.
What?
A whole village built.
The man that made that song, that wrote that song, is the man that does the art and film festival in Chicago. And his name is Warren, and he's a brother of mine, and, you know, he's a brother of y'all. You know, there's a lot that's been going on here, and this right here came to me, and I want to see that day. And I think we can show that through Seafleet and really get this thing going. It's about to be remade. They were looking at three artists. I added one, and I'm seeing if he's interested in being part of it, and that's Malik Yusuf, I guess his name. But when I brought up his name, they were like, you can get a whole, I said, yeah, I know people that can get a lot more than just him. I said, but I happen to have one of my board members was just playing at the Grammys or the Emmys, whatever was in February. He just was on stage with Malik. So what our thing is here is this has never been promoted. If you notice, how many views are there? How many comments is it? He has never pushed this song. This song that day was actually supposed to be on Michael Jackson's last album. And that's what it was written for. But he never made the album.
Well,
so
I'm a subscriber. I just subscribed. Yeah, I just subscribed, and I give it a thumbs up. But I'm playing this every day because this day is that day. Whereas that day is this day. Whatever it is, I can see it. That I can see, with that video with them out putting up that. I mean, that it's a perfect fit. Perfect fit.
Thanks for sharing.
Perfect
Chris.
Fit. Matter of fact, I just sent Reba. I know that if she can, she's been kind of busy lately. But I'll send her the video if she doesn't get on today. But well, anyway, because we record all our podcasts and whatnot. But all right, well, man, that puts you in the mood to buy something.
Doesn't it though? Now here's the kicker to get that on every band out there, even local ones. Before you go on set, play this and get everyone in the mood to accept what you're about to give them.
I agree. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, that's phenomenal imagination.
Okay.
The hospitals were vacant. No patients were there. That's crazy.
All right. Well, we started late today, about 30 minutes late, because we usually go off about 12:30. I know people got stuff to do, so we got about 5 minutes left for this podcast. We record them all, so it's all archived, and it's available for playback on Blog Talk Radio. Our brand here is Build Solar Homes. Originally was It's My House, but we've been on 10 and a half years, so within about 5 or 10 minutes after we conclude the live stream, you can play this back and as many times as you want. And today's podcast is titled $2,500 e-commerce homes. We're going to do an ebook on that. Based on this podcast, in collection, what we want to do is when we do a live stream on YouTube or whatever platform, that song that day will be a good theme song for that. So thank you for making us aware of it and whatnot. So we got about 4 minutes left. Anybody, we'll start with Chris. Chris, anything to promote? Yeah, he could have stepped away. 704,
no,
anything
I had,
to promote?
Clubhouse,
anything? Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Listen, Jenny, everything's good on my end. Look forward to maybe doing the show tomorrow. It's a little loud in my background. That's why I was on mute. But that, you know what? I see that day right now, and I'm going to take a picture of it, of what that day is.
Me too.
And it's how it's starting, and it's doing it right here in front of me, live, right here at this moment. So I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'm going to send it to you.
Matter of fact, and we can probably do this on Clubhouse later, is put together
went out. Okay, go ahead.
Put together a business plan for this. Howie, you had something you want to mention?
It seems like you were going out. No, I don't have anything to say. You know, just moving forward. It's been an amazing program here today. Thanks a lot for sharing that, Chris. I'm a musician myself, beginning musician, and I do have some content myself for the gentleman who said that they will do something free in the nonprofit music-wise, so I want to follow up with that. And that's everything here today has been very helpful to me.
Awesome. I really enjoyed our conversation yesterday as well.
Let's see. Now, we might be have a – this part – all right, let's resume this. All right, tomorrow if we do something, it might be like late 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll our regular time, which is 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 Central Standard Time. So what's tomorrow? Wednesday. So I don't know what time we'll be starting tomorrow, so – we'll pick up this on Thursday because we typically go 5 days a week, but I got a special appointment tomorrow. But I'm looking at, forget that part. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to conclude out, and I'm going to play that day as our outro music. I've been playing something else for years, but it's a new day. This is that day. So thank you for the music again, and this is our outro. Everyone have a good rest of the day. I'll see you guys on Clubhouse if you're on Clubhouse.
only can to make the flowers bloom. No matter how impossible it seems, the truth is the truth and not a dream. You can bring the future into now. Your faith can make it happen somehow. You can make the world by the word you say. You can make tomorrow come today. And all those earth say goodbye. We're united with the one for whom you cry. This ain't enough to fairy tale. Believe in your wishes become real. When your heart and mind is full of dreams, that's something you can be.
Celebrate all things. Celebrate pain. No guns,
no
guns.
No guns. Everybody's on the street,
breaking,
and everybody's loving each other, loving each other.
At Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking car off business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.